Welcome to Issues 2023. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Director of Wichita Park and Recreation, Troy Houtman. Welcome to Issues 2023, Troy. Nice to have you with us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Before I talk about anything else, I want to talk about trees for just a little bit. Been a big topic at the City Council, and I saw or heard some of the numbers on how many trees we have, and they're not all in the parks, of course, but wow, a lot of trees in this town, a lot of need to be replaced.
Most definitely. We are in a situation where we're actually losing more trees than what we're planting. Every year we plant trees, trying to change that. But back in the 50s and 60s, there was a huge boom of planting trees. And just like everything else, they're going through their life cycle, and they're ending their life cycle, and we're trying to catch up on getting more trees planted.
Now, a lot of them in the parks. You have any idea? Have you gone out and numbered all the trees in the park?
We haven't done a full survey, but we're guessing it's somewhere in the neighborhood of about 300 to 400,000.
I'm sorry, was that 400,000?
Correct.
Wow.
Yes.
What kind of trees are they? There's all kinds, huh?
They're all kinds. But ash and oak are probably one of the more common ones that we have.
Okay. Now, sorry, we've got a project to go out and replace some of those. And I live close to Riverside Park, and over the years I've run down through there and walked down through there, and every now and then there'll be one just fell over in the river. Yep. And I know that it's not only old age, but there are ticks and lice and bugs that get into them too.
Yeah, we've had a serious issue with the pine trees. There's a bark beetle, and if you've noticed, all the pine trees, not just in the parks, but everywhere, have turned brown. And so we are also trying to get those removed. They're not a hazard right away, but if you leave them up for several years, then it becomes a hazard, and we need to get those pine trees removed. Pine trees are not necessarily native to the Kansas area, mm-hmm. Especially in the Wichita area. So the bark beetle has taken over, and there's a few other insects that have really devastated some of our trees.
The bark beetle, okay.
Yeah.
So let's get a little basic information here. How long have you been director of Park and Recreation?
It's hard to believe. At the end of this month, it'll be 9 years that I've moved here from Austin, Texas.
Why is that hard to believe?
It's gone by so fast.
Well, you get older. You came here from Austin.
Yes, yes.
What do we have in common with Austin? Although I think the climates are pretty similar, aren't they? A lot of trees down there.
It's definitely warmer down in Texas.
Yeah.
I think we had a few more hills in Texas. I learned that right away here in Wichita. We don't have that many hills. Learned how to say the proper pronunciation of the Arkansas River.
Arkansas,
I got blasted the first month or so about that. But I don't know. My wife and I, we really enjoyed our move here. We haven't even been back to visit. I call my friends. We chat. We obviously on social media, but we have not physically gone back down to Austin to visit since we moved here.
Well, we were there a few years ago. My morning show co-host and I went down to Austin for the Marconi Awards, and I hadn't been down. My mother-in-law used to live there, north of there, and I hadn't been there for a while. That is a big city now. It's a big city.
It's huge. And when I first got there in around 2005, the boom was just hitting, and we stayed there for about 7 years, and in that time I saw all kinds of new buildings downtown. So I think we left just in time, and we've been enjoying Wichita. And in my job, I'm so happy about this job. This has been one of the best jobs I've ever had, and we've done so many great things with the department here in Wichita. I think our department has really grown and gotten a lot more exposure.
Where are you from originally then?
I grew up in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Oh, Santa Fe, yeah. I was down there the other day. Okay.
And my folks still live there. I have tons of friends. So when I go visit, it's always a great homecoming. And that home is home. And, mm-hmm. and that's still partly home, even though I call Wichita home as well.
Give us an idea on the scope of your responsibilities, Mark. How many, for instance, how many employees do you have?
So it's pretty widespread. Let me just start off with a few other things as well. It's really diverse. We got so many different responsibilities, kind of like a catch-all of all things for the city. I have about 250 full-time employees, and that's in the park side, also in the recreation element of things. Oversee several different contracts like the Striker Complex, the ice rink, and so there's a lot of other contracts that are out there. We contract a lot of our park maintenance, so we have local vendors that are that mow, that do landscaping. It's about a $5 million contract to mow all of our parks. So those don't really show up as regards to people, but also in the summertime, we have probably about 300 seasonal part-time employees that we bring on. So we're talking about lifeguards, folks that work out in the park fields, as well as in our recreation centers. So lots and lots of responsibility. We have cemeteries and that we take care of.
Man.
And we do prenatal classes, or we have done prenatal classes. So I often say from birth to death and across the whole city, we're there.
So what's your annual budget then?
So this year, we're tipping right in about $30 million, and that includes golf as well.
How many golf courses do we have?
We have four golf courses.
Four.
And they are busy. They're yeah.
Doing good, doing there, huh?
Okay. We're doing well.
Mm-hmm. A lot of trees, we were talking about them a minute ago. Do you? How do you keep them trimmed? How do you take care of them?
Well, that's one
contract?
Of the things. Well, part of it is contract. We do contracting for trimming, planting, and stump grinding. So we'll cut the tree down, and then we'll have the stump come back later with a contractor to come out and contract it and remove that stump. We're behind on everything. As I mentioned, there's a huge amount of trees. We're planting trees, and what a typical trimming cycle is for trees is once every 8 to 10 years. We are on a cycle of about 1 to 25 years. Mm. It's just simply because we don't have enough resources to do it.
Which parks, let's talk about just parks now.
Sure.
Which park or parks are the most visitors?
Riverside. You know, the downtown parks get a lot of visits. And we have a swimming pool nearby. We have the splash pad down in Riverside. We have the nature center that has the display of all the animals that we have down there, which is a huge hit. Go down there for lunchtime and you'll see them being fed, and it's just really cool. We have an interpreter there that shares all kinds of information about the animals. So particularly in the school year, there's bus loads that come just to come watch the animals. And we have a beaver, we have bobcat, tons and tons of birds.
That was the original city, the park. I mean, the zoo.
Yes.
The zoo was there.
Yeah.
I remember that growing up.
Yeah, many.
In the early 70s, we had the Sedgwick County Zoo.
Yep.
You don't have anything on that, do you?
No.
County Zoo, okay.
No.
So pickleball is very popular.
Yes, it is.
Are the city's pickleball courts busy all the time?
In the peak times. Just
okay.
Just like with our tennis courts, just with our basketball courts, obviously. In the mornings, they're really kind of busy, and going into the evenings. In the summertime, in the middle of the day, they're not very busy because it's too darn hot. But when we have some pickleball courts that have lights, they're busy in the evenings. And I'm sure you've heard we're working on a project to add in 24 pickleball courts down at South Lakes Park.
Oh.
And it's already gaining a lot of national attention. We've been talking to a couple different professional touring groups that want to host tournaments there, which means economic impact and for our city, heads in beds and people eating at our restaurants. So,
it actually pickleball is a revenue producer then, huh?
It could be.
Could be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us about the city's skate parks.
So we have three of them,
mm-hmm.
and all different sizes. One is pretty small. The other one, the largest one, is right underneath Kellogg in downtown, mm-hmm. and that one gets pretty good use. We've hosted some skateboard tournaments from time to time, but definitely we need to spend a little bit more time on that. Needs a little bit more TLC. But it's just a matter of time and resources.
Tell me about dog parks.
Yes. One of the biggest social aspects of the past 10 years across the country, as dog parks have popped up, so has social engagement from people get to know their neighbors, and it's not just for the dogs, it's for the people as well. So we're looking at Country Acres, which used to be a homeowners association park and used to have a swimming pool there.
Yeah.
And that has been filled in probably 15, 20 years ago. And the west side of town has been really barking for a dog park. And so that really looked well as a good location. Councilmember Brian Fry, he's been really supportive of this. He's really helped us with this. We're looking at we've already initiated the funds. We're coming up with the design right now, and we're hoping by next summer we'll actually have a dog park at that location. That will put us up to 6 dog parks.
6?
Yeah.
Dog parks. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And a city our size, that should be about right. When I first got here, we only had 2 dog parks.
2, yeah.
And we've added one, as an example, is Harrison. And we've been monitoring some of the attendance. And once that dog park went in there, that park tripled in attendance. And, it really is a social thing for the dogs and for the people.
You're listening to Issues 2023 on the Odyssey radio stations. Our guest is Director of Parks and Recreation, Troy Houtman. Yeah, the aquatic parks and pools popular this summer?
Yes, they were. I mean, the heat really kind of drove that. We are just finishing the Aquatics Master Plan. We added 2 splash pads at the end of last summer, and so this year was the first year that we used those, and one of them was at Harrison Park. And we saw a great amount of usage. And when we're talking about, I think it's $2 to get into a swimming pool, the splash pads are free. Wow, what a bargain and what a deal. Not to get too deep into it, but looking at some of our competitors, we definitely are far, far cheaper than that.
Where is Harrison Park?
It's on the west side. I can't recall the cross streets.
It's not Mays, is it? Mays in Central? I think that's where it is. Okay.
Yep, that sounds right.
And the main, you maintain bicycle paths and hiking trails as well?
We do.
You don't have to maintain them very much, but every now and then you've got to resurface them, I guess.
Well, when there's a washout, when the sand, some of them are paved, and so when sand gets onto them, we have to go clean those off because that could be dangerous for some of the bicyclists. We've had some washout. We've had erosion hit where we actually lost part of the trail, so we have to redesign and go around the erosion spot. And, of course, we try to get some volunteers to help us with this stuff, and they will help us with some of the cleanup because we'll get some trash, water bottles cans, and we want to get those cleaned up.
That just brings up an interesting topic, trash.
Yes.
Probably 24/7 every day. What's the biggest thing you see in trash? Just paper and stuff like that, or?
So not to point out too many different businesses here, but the gas stations that have all the soda and coffee cups, they often have their logo on those, and we see those everywhere. So what happens is during the dry spots, people are out there getting hydrated, and they throw those bottles and cans everywhere, and typically they are in parking lots. It rains. What happens when it rains? It's like a flush in the toilet. All that debris goes right into our waterways, and some of it gets stuck on some of the vegetation. Some of it actually flushes all the way down into the Arkansas, and we have different ways of trying to clean all that up, but a lot of it really depends on volunteers. We have close to 7,500 acres of parkland. And I don't have enough staff to go scour each one of those acres. And so we really work with volunteers. We have different service groups that help us. They do specific cleanups and whatnot. The frustrating thing is they'll go clean it, and several months later, it's right back the way it was.
So how many volunteers do you think you use?
Over the year, probably 5,000
people,
and we probably have closer to 15,000 hours of volunteer work. Mm-hmm. So an average of about 3 hours per individual.
You know, I played in the softball league, slow pitch, for several years. I'm probably 12. And the city at that time, they had letters for each league. You go A through about H or I, somewhere in there, maybe even K. And if so, that's like eight or nine teams, 10 people. We had a bunch of baby boomers that liked to play softball.
Yeah.
How are we doing that? Are we doing that anymore, that to those numbers?
It's definitely dropped off. There's a lot of other interests that in sports that have taken over softball, but we still have strong leagues. I talked a little bit about South Lakes. We have eight softball fields out there, and they get used quite a bit. We host softball tournaments, but what has taken off a little bit more that I would imagine 15 years ago that wasn't that popular was girls softball.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly.
And so we have a lot more of those leagues as well as tournaments, especially in the summertime. You would think about when you and I were kids and there was people that were playing baseball, and you see that now. There's traveling teams for baseball, traveling teams for basketball and those type of things. What's really big now is traveling teams for girls softball and for volleyball. There's a huge, strong foundation for girls volleyball as well, and they travel all over the country, and we're trying to capture that market and have them come here.
I see you offer adult kickball,
yes.
Co-ed t-ball, and
yeah.
Flag football. Is flag football co-ed?
Yes, it is.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. The kickball league is pretty popular, and it's really kind of geared for folks that don't want to get too dirty, too sweaty, too active. But
the game that is predicated on baseball?
Yes.
You roll the ball up instead of pitch it. You give it a kick, and then you run.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A fun game.
Yeah.
Fun game.
Not a whole lot of skills compared to some of the other sports.
Yeah.
But some folks get really, really competitive sometimes,
like
anything else. But for the most part, I think it's folks that just want to get out, get a little exercise, get some fresh air, socialize with some of their compadres or coworkers and stuff like that.
You offer a wide range of classes. Are these popular too?
Yes. Yeah, we have, and we monitor them. If they end up not being popular, we get rid of them and get something else. But cooking classes, all kinds of little classes for arts and painting and all kinds of fun stuff. And you know, some of them are only 5 or 6 people in the class, and some of them are 20, 25. It just depends. But these are mostly led by instructors that have an interest. So they have folks that are very interested in that kind of activity, and they typically have a following. And so those instructors will help us recruit and get people into those classes.
Do you charge fees for that then?
Some of them do, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And to find out more, you go to the webpage, which is, is the webpage? Easily.
So you go to wichita.gov.
There you go. Okay.
And in there, there's a pathway to get to our classes.
Now, you've got indoor facilities. Are they available for parties and meetings and things like that?
They are. We're the best as far as price-wise across the whole city. We are renting space out for quinceañeras, for birthday parties, for corporate meetings. We just opened up a new facility. It's really kind of cool. We call it the Seasons. It's over at O.J. Watson. And O.J. Watson is a great little park. It's got the train. We have the pony rides. There's a miniature golf. We have paddle boards for on the little lake. So it's really, really popular for the families. And we've been hosting birthday parties there for years and years and years. And the location was actually in, where we do that, the parties, was actually in a old storage space with no windows right next to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Not great. So we ended up making an investment. We built a new venue. It's called Seasons Venue. And the reason why we call it Seasons Venue is because it has these garage doors that open up. So like days like today in the fall, it's beautiful. You can open that up and get some fresh air. It seats about 200. It's just a great spot there in the west side of O.J. Watson. It's beautiful. And we have that thing booked out continuously. It's just been super popular.
You mentioned the Stryker Complex a while ago, and that's yeah. yours.
Yes.
What has that meant to, to park and recreation? Has dollar-wise it's helped you? We got all kinds of things going on up there.
So a little bit more information about that. We actually contract that out. So there's a management company that manages it for us, and that's the Wichita Sports Forum. And they do a pretty good job. They are bringing in a lot of tournaments, and they've actually absorbed a lot of the soccer interest throughout the whole city. So if you are on a soccer team, you're probably playing over at Stryker. Mm-hmm. And what we ended up doing was, it's been there for almost 20 years, but about 3 years ago, we actually updated it and put artificial turf. And that's a huge improvement because you can play 24/7, and we have lights out there.
Right.
So whether it rains, whether it's snow, whatever, those fields are available. And as I mentioned earlier about economic impact, that's the tool right there, and that's the model. We see folks leaving Wichita to go play soccer in Kansas City or in Denver, all the surrounding states. Well, why can't they come here? And we're changing that. People are actually coming to Wichita for soccer tournaments and now softball, baseball tournaments, and soon pickleball.
Troy, before the time gets away from me here, what's the biggest challenge in your job right now?
Well, there's a lot of different things, and things change year to year. But in general, meeting the needs and expectations of the community, I need a little bit more resources. And we try to be creative in finding ways of bringing in revenue. We've got a lot of opportunities for grants and other situations where we're bringing in more revenue. But as I mentioned earlier about the trees, we could use more resources to take care of the trees. We could use more resources to keep our parks a little bit cleaner. We could use some more resources to strengthen our after-school program. And those are all things that just benefit the community. We're just a quality of life indicator, and the more we do, the better the quality of life for Wichita.
Good point. Park and recreation. A lot of people spend a lot of time in the park, and we appreciate you taking some time with us today. We're out of time. And, hey, maybe we can come back a little later and do this again one of these days. Appreciate your time this morning, Troy. Our guest is Director of Wichita Park and Wichita Park and Recreation Director, Troy Halpin. Now, you said you've been at the 9 years. Think you'll stay another 9 years or not?
I got about 15 years to retire, and I'm not planning on going anywhere else.
All right. That's all for this edition of Issues 2023. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.